Let's begin.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the Georgia World Congress Center for Radio Row, this is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss. Clear. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Now, here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off it. Moving so phenomenally.
We are broadcasting live from Radio Row in Atlanta. I'm David Gao, the Boss. Next to me, the Gloss.
Living the dream in ATL.
Well, usually I refer to you as the Monday Night Delight because you're doing nighttime shows. We brought you into the light of day. Is the world ready for the Gloss in the light of day?
This is my Disneyland. This is heaven.
Yeah, bringing the Gloss to Radio Row is like taking a kid to Disneyland.
Yeah, this is like my bonus for the year.
Moments ago, I had to go track her down here at Radio Row. She was in the Old Spice booth. Old Spice has a little booth over there where you can try on all kinds of different scents. And
what do you think of my new smell?
Well, you smell great. You look great. But nobody was happy calling you Old Spice. We're going to call you Young Spice, Hot Spice, lots of spice. Is there some kind of spice we got here today?
I'm clearly a Spice Girl.
She says Spice Girl. Sign her up. Well, speaking of really exciting guests we have, or spicy women would be the transition. We have Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer joining us next segment. And they are really, I look at you as top of the field as a female broadcaster. But when you look at Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer, we are in rarefied air.
They're the gold standard.
They are.
They are the gold standard. And it's so cool because they are the first female duo to call NFL game. And they're doing it for Amazon Prime Stream Live, 11 Thursday night football games they've done past year, and they just re-upped them for another season. So they're exciting, they're different, they're paving a way. It's very cool.
Well, the one thing that strikes me is if you have an option to listen to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman or listen to Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer,
nice.
I'm sorry, but I'm going with Hannah and Andrea.
Are you?
Of course.
Oh, my gosh, and you're a diehard.
Oh, you thought I was going to go the other way.
I did, and I thought you were going to put it on me as the female.
No. I'm going with the women. You can go with the men if you need to.
I put Andrea and Hannah up there with Tony Romo, Jim Nance.
Yeah, see, and they rank higher than Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
They're the Pat Summerall, John Madden duo of the now 2018.
Well, we will have them when we return, and I really look forward to hearing how their first year went, how they enjoyed it.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the Georgia World Congress Center for Radio Row, this is the Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Now, here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Fantastic. We're back on Radio Row. We're here in Atlanta. David Gao and Carla Dawson. And as promised, we are delighted to have Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer join us here on the set. Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, it's so fun to be with you guys.
Well,
thank you. Are you having a good week?
We're having a fantastic week, and it's a better week now. I wanted to say, we were talking about it. We loved your season on Amazon this past fall. How did that come to pass? How did this all develop?
We picked up the phone one day, literally, and we share a terrific agent from Octagon, and he said to us, would you be interested in calling games for NFL games for Thursday Night Football? I said, are you expletive kidding me? It just really didn't seem real. Very, very quickly, we had a conversation with the executives from Amazon. The first thing they said to us is, this is not a gimmick. Hannah and I were texting each other. We're, okay, that sounds good. We'll continue
to listen.
That was a
good start.
Hannah and I had known each other for a dozen years. I have the distinction of working with both husband and wife, since I had the pleasure of working with our husband,
Dan Hicks.
The great Dan Hicks.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Hannah and I have known each other, but the first time we worked together, and we figured it was going to be a good fit. As Hannah has said all along, if not us, then who? And it was something that we held each other's hand and jumped off the cliff.
Yeah, the cool thing was, too, is that Amazon specifically wanted the two of us. And that's, you know,
as a duo,
they identified the two of us and they said, basically, and if you don't do it, we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like they said, oh, you know, we want to do a women's stream. They were like, if we're going to do this, these are the two people we want. We think these are the two people that can pull it off. And if they say no, we're just going to move on to something
sure.
else. So I thought that was cool.
It is.
Yeah,
right?
I give Amazon a lot of credit because
yeah, they
if they wanted two women, there's plenty of women they could get. But so here's the deal. I've always thought we may not be a cup of tea. We're an option. And we hope it's an option that people do check out. But you can't besmirch our journalistic credentials. We've both been in the business for 30 plus years. Hannah has done everything that you could possibly do as a broadcaster.
Every sport.
And,
right.
And now play-by-play of NFL. Right. Just, you know, right. Add that on. It's
right.
pretty cool.
So you can't say anything. You may not like us, but you can't say anything about what we've accomplished.
No, you both bring an incredible wealth of experience. I mean, Hannah, you've mm-hmm. got, you know, breaking news on SportsCenter.
Yeah.
And then, Andrew, you've got sidelines in the NFL for years and, you know, Emmy Award-winning productions with NFL. I mean, incredible things. So my question to you both, I listen to you, you're so engaging, you're so entertaining, and I think even a non-sports woman watching a football game, mm-hmm. non-sports guy,
right.
would go, I get this. Like, I get what they're saying. Like, I want to be sitting on the couch next to you. I'm not intimidated listening to you. So what do you, in your broadcast, want to convey? You know, what kind
That's
of message?
It's funny that you said that, because our whole thing is like, what? Like, we just want to act like Andrea and I are sitting on a couch watching football. I mean, that is really funny.
You're drinking wine and I'm drinking water.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have wine and Andrea will have, like, Perrier. But we are
That's
sitting.
That's how the two of us are.
We yeah. are sitting on the same couch.
Right.
And, you know, we are in over 200 countries. So there might be a lot of people watching whose first exposure to NFL football is listening to us. And Andrea is very, as she is breaking down plays, she will very gracefully explain. You know, not dumbing it down, but she will not assume that everybody knows what a jet sweep is or, you know, understand
Absolutely.
This kind of defense or what have you. And she just explains it like, you know, sort of in the course of conversation. And so you can learn and not be intimidated by, you know, if you're just going to go, anybody can. She could throw a bunch of terminology around all day long, but that's not entertaining. It's not really impressive, and nobody knows what it means.
It doesn't
even football fans don't.
We also know that one of the primary tenets of broadcasting is if you as announcers are having fun, the audience will have fun. And so Hannah and I, we have each other's back. We can finish each other's sentences. You know, she can clean up my messes. I can clean up hers. We are together on the broadcast. And I think that that's the one thing that from day one that people commented on that I really appreciated is, well, your chemistry is really good. Because that is a necessary attribute for any broadcaster, mm-hmm. but especially, I think, in our broadcast booth.
No, it's so true. Listeners, we are so lucky we're here with Andrea Kramer, Hannah Storm, the first all-female duo to call NFL games Thursday Night Football. Amazon Prime.
Still, so
miss
fun
it.
To hear.
I know. And we're back for a second season. So
and you know what?
The
Thursday Night Football needs a little help, I think, because somehow that has been like the stepchild of the NFL, but not with you two.
We had really good games.
This was a great.
Really
this
did, and we ended up with the unbelievable Chargers Chiefs game was the last one, and so was like our last game, and we were in a groove, and the game was so great, and then we looked at each other, and we're like, no, it can't be over, please, no, because
but it's not over. You're
and
coming
it's not,
back,
so we're coming back for another season. But it was really fun to end on that game. But I would say we had some fantastic, fantastic games, and then we had some games that weren't so. I'm thinking about Arizona.
that
performance by the Cardinals. Woo.
But it was still
entertaining.
Right, and the kind of broadcast that mm-hmm. that we wanted to have, which is, you know, it's almost like a reporter's broadcast, because on a weekly basis, we would always, in addition to our typical production calls with coaches and players, we would also try to identify sort of other characters, other voices outside of the game. So it could be, I mean, we went on a father streak for a while. You know, Andrew Luck's father, Oliver. Ed McCaffrey, Larry Fitzgerald Sr., Archie Manning, you name it. So we did that.
You called Connie Watt, too, though.
Connie Watt, yeah. right. Parents, yeah. Exactly. But we also, we tracked down, before the Titans-Jaguars game, we tracked down Eddie George, which turned out to be so, you know, precipitous, because the player that he's basically mentoring, Derrick Henry, had this incredible game.
Oh, it was the game of the season.
The 99-yard, run, and just this magical night. Right. And Eddie George had provided us all this background, and then we dialed him up at halftime just to touch base.
See, you two are rainmakers. Look at that.
Yeah,
it's happening.
Hey, it's better than the Sports Illustrated Jinx, right?
The best was Nick Mullins was starting for the Niners, and he got the call to start, really at the 11th hour. I mean, was it, 2 hours before game time? We realized when they announced
the Oakland game.
And so we tracked down his high school coach. We tracked down his college coach. Andrea's texting, team executives and all of this. And so that joke around Amazon was, wow, you guys couldn't get a hold of the nurse that was in the delivery room? What's the problem here when he was born?
People want to know.
But we did. It was cool. It was really cool. And he had a great debut. And we had all this great information just by,
But that's why I called it a reporter's broadcast, because that's what we want to try to bring to it. And listen, if Nick Mullins hadn't done that well, we weren't going to just force the material in. But as it turns out, he had this incredible debut.
Great debut.
We even tracked down, he and Brett Favre had a relationship. We tracked, we looked into that. So, but again, you have to understand, this is, as Hannah points out, within 2 hours of the broadcast.
Yeah.
So this is where both Hannah and my experience in breaking news really comes into play, and I think really helped our broadcast. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Well, you all are the athlete whispers. I hope the listeners are catching this. I mean, you prep for it, and it happens. So, Derrick Henry, you need to thank these Nick Mullins. Yeah. You're you because of these two. So, pretty good
karma.
We
can use that next season.
Athlete whispers. Right. There you go. Right.
Can I ask you one more question before we lose you? What will you want to do differently next year?
I think just keep getting better. It was exponential improvement. We had obviously had a huge learning curve, never having done this before. Every NFL game is completely unique with the storylines, and as we've seen, that's what makes the NFL so fascinating. So I think that we got better every week, and that's our goal, is just keep fine tuning. Keep working. We both work really, really hard, and we definitely want to have fun. That's very important. And just stay consistent and get better and better.
And you have to realize, we basically had, which looking back on it, it's surreal. We basically had 6 weeks to prepare.
Hmm.
6 weeks.
Yes, because that's when we really knew that
this is where your experience.
That's where this came together.
Amazon knew that they could do this.
So imagine that once that schedule comes out in April, we're starting to prepare.
Sure.
So that alone is a difference. But also, look, until you do anything, you don't know that you can. And so each week we learned, each week we got better. And I just think that if nothing else, experience behind the mic infuses you with confidence. So I can't wait for season two.
And your hard work. There's just nothing.
All about you. It's such a boring narrative, preparation. And we always say, Peyton Manning was such a hard worker. Joe Montana, such a hard worker. Tom Brady. Well, I mean, look what they've accomplished, because they were prepared. They know where every player is supposed to be on the field. They, take care of their themselves physically. And there's just no substitute for preparation, because with preparation comes confidence, but also the ability to just breathe deeply and call the game that's happening.
Trust your training.
We could have all these notes, and which we do. I mean, you should see Andrea's wall of cards and everything. But you have to be prepared to set all that aside. Know that you've done your homework, but really follow the story of the game and let all of that flow naturally. But we both of us have always been about preparation,
and we never forgot that. No matter how many people we talked to, the game was the thing.
Yeah,
believe it. I believe it. We're so excited for next season. Andrea Kramer, Hannah Storm, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you.
Dream Team and Athlete Whispers. Can't wait for season two.
Thank you.
You're on to something. I am.
If you need a sideline reporter, Carla Dawson. Although I don't know if I'm going to give her up. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Thanks.
We'll be right back on the Boston the Gloss when we return. SB Nation Radio.
Thank you.
listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the Georgia World Congress Center for Radio Row, this is The Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Now, here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
And we are back live at Radio Row in Atlanta, and the hits keep coming. We've gone from Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer. We now have at our desk here Billy White Shoes Johnson, the legend.
Legend.
And we're out of Houston, so you know we've got lots of fond memories of your years with the Oilers, an incredible run. And I actually just have to say that that era was one of the funnest eras in Houston sports. And you were the heart of that team, and that was a big part of a big focal team.
I don't know about that, but it was the best time for me as a professional athlete. And at that time in Houston, it was fantastic. When you had people like Earl Campbell, Pastorini, Robert Brazil,
oh my goodness,
and a slew of other guys, it made it fun. And, of course, Bum Phillips.
Yeah.
Was, what a place to play in. You know, a town to play in. It was just true camaraderie, and it was fun, enjoyable.
Did you see the other day? We're talking to Billy White Shoes Johnson the other day when Wade Phillips got off the plane and he put on the cowboy hat and the jacket. He was dressed like his father.
Yeah. Oh, I missed that, but I'm telling you, man, I'm sure them guys got a kick out of that, and they love that. And that's one reason I'm pulling for the Rams, because of Wade and Billy Johnson, the other Billy Johnson, who coaches the defensive line. No, but, you know, I guess Wade is thinking back when we went to Pittsburgh to play for the championship. Oh, man.
Yeah.
And Bump donned on that coat because it's cold up there, very cold. It's almost like it was here. Probably, I know it's colder. So he's ready.
Well, it is interesting. You're talking about that championship game.
Yes.
And
yes.
This week there's been all the noise around the big non-call with the Rams and the Steelers. The Rams and the Saints. But it did, in my head, I went back to the Mike Renfro catch in the corner, which was a questionable call. There was no opportunity to do a replay. But that was, in Houston lore, that is what the Saints are experiencing now.
It is. And you know what? Bum handled that really, really well that time. It was a bang-bang call. The guy's human. He made a mistake.
He did.
He don't think he made a mistake, but we know he made a mistake. But here's what Bum said also along those lines. He said that, you know, who knows? We might have awakened that sleeping giant. They might have scored two or three more. You never know.
You never know.
You never know. But, yeah, did it hurt us as far as our momentum? It did, because if we had scored then, I think we'd have kept going. So who's to say what the outcome might have been?
No, it's so true, Billy. And I look at that even today. You know, just you look at that call, but you think, well, had it been coached better, it wouldn't have been that tight. You know, there's all kinds of things you can say, and I think the Saints hopefully can move on from this and use it as motivation instead of just they're dwelling in it now, and I know it still stings, but it is what it is. You got to keep going.
And I just hope they don't start being derogatory and denigrating in their remarks about the call. It's over with. You know, nobody likes it. You have to live with it, so move forward. And I'm sure it's going to be used as bulletin board fodder next year.
Absolutely.
Well, it is fun to speculate. We were wondering, you know, back-to-back disappointment years. Now you head into training camp.
Yeah.
Every year you head into training camp with the mantra, if we work hard, there'll be great reward. And for 2 years now, they've worked hard but not gotten to the reward they had hoped. So it will be a hard thing. I think Sean Payton's got to do a good job of coaching them through this.
And I think he can. I think he will. And if he doesn't, then, you know, the results are going to be the same like the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure he's got one more big-time effort to make it to the Super Bowl.
As long as he can keep Breeze with him.
Exactly.
Okay, Billy, question for you because you're an educated opinion on this. So I look at what happened with the Saints, and I think, but you still had a minute 40, a minute 50 to stop the Rams. You didn't. You allowed them to drive down to kick a game-tying field goal. Then you win the coin toss. And in the NFL, it looks like if you win the coin toss, you win the game. They won the coin toss. He threw an interception. So is there any consolation for fans? You've been on that other side to say, hey, we had our chances, and we still couldn't make it happen.
The real players will say that.
Yeah.
I mean, in your heart, you know, hey, we came back. We bounced back from that. Yeah, it might have put us up and could have iced the game. But you had every opportunity to win it. So you can't blame that one play. And, you know, you often hear people say one play doesn't win a game or break a game. In this situation, it didn't, because you had an opportunity to come back.
The clock had not expired.
Exactly.
Okay, now you are a game changer, Billy, not only because you're this fabulous return specialist, but you are really the pioneer for end zone celebrations, the funky chicken. Tell us about what motivated you to start that. I mean, you started the trend, and how do you feel about the NFL celebrations today?
You know, briefly, I started the dance in college, all on a lark, all on a dare, having fun, playing a big-time rival school of ours, and you know, when you go out there on a limb with your buddies and you say you're going to do something, you got to do it. So I did it. That's fun. And I didn't expect to do it any more than that. But being at a small school, small college, people will come out and see what you're going to do next. And we had a lot of fun with it. It was nowhere near being derogatory or assault to somebody else. Now, as far as throughout the league,
yeah,
some of it's pretty good. But when you start choreographing, you know, you've got Jeffrey Colder, or whatever his name was, the artistic director of dance ballet.
The bowling lane call, the phone calls.
What did you think of Michael Thomas's phone in the end zone, you know, underneath the pylons? He pulled that out after and started calling somebody. What did you think of that one?
Was that him, or was it you going back to when it was the other receiver?
He brought that back. He resurrected
it. Yes. I kind of like that. Yeah.
I thought that was great. Okay, here's one.
I kind of like that,
sure.
too. I really
do.
I thought that was really great. But what about, okay, Juju Smith-Schuster scores a touchdown. This is late in the season. This is this past season. And he birthed the football like a baby in the end zone.
As a mother of three, you're a little uncomfortable.
I'm a little uncomfortable.
You don't want a football popping out, do you?
I realize I'm representing that other side of the female version, but that was a little much for me.
I agree. I think something you got to be very careful about.
Where's the line, right? So we're talking to Billy Whiteshoes Johnson, who had a great career as a returner, and he is, of course, a pioneer in end zone celebrations. I have to ask, can you still do the dance?
Oh, I can, but I don't split.
The split was amazing. He's got moves like Jagger.
No.
Now, let's not forget, he's a three-time pro bowler as well. I mean, it's not just the dancing moves you've got. You've got it all over the place.
Now, there were a couple seasons there with the Oilers where it was electric. When it made the special teams exciting. You knew when Billy Whiteshoes was going on the field and the ball was going to be kicked to him, everyone was sort of on the edge of their seats. They anticipated something big.
Well, you know what really made it exciting and electrifying is the 10 guys that went out there with me. They wanted to see me dance as much as I wanted to dance. And they went out there to protect me. And I'm telling you, they tell you before, where'd he come from? Was he my man? He said, was it my man? I can tell him, no, it wasn't your man. He came from the left side. And they were shored up on the field. Just completely block all of, I mean, just do what they're supposed to do. That's what made it fun.
It was fun. Now, we're with Billy Whiteshoes Johnson, and we're reminiscing. But while we're talking football here, Carla's opened up these pork rinds. Tell us about these pork
Billy
rinds.
Billy brought us Breakfast of Champions this morning.
It is. You know, the good people at Rudolph Foods,
yeah,
Southern Recipes, they have partnered up with Mike Dicker with Gridiron Grapes. And what they do, every bag that is brought up into the Super Bowl, the big day of pigskins, how about the pigskins, eating pigskins, watching pigskins, the big day, they will donate a portion up to $15,000, and they've been doing it for a long time. So in the process, they're able to help those pioneers of the games with their medical costs or whatever else they may need. So they decided to have the biggest day of the year, which is pigskin, the biggest pigskin day of the year, which is February 3rd, Super Bowl, to culminate it all with pigskins. And because of that, they've donated tens of thousands of dollars to the Gridiron Grapes Association.
Awesome cause. Southern Recipe Original Pork Rinds.
I got the sea salt and cracked black pepper. Even gluten-free.
Gluten-free.
Billy, you're taking care of me.
Oh, that's the only way to do it.
Absolutely.
She's enjoying them already. Well, we've enjoyed having you here, Billy Whiteshoes Johnson.
Well,
thank you so much
guys
for coming here on the Boston of the Gloss.
It's always
good
to speak to hometown people.
What great a treat. Moves like Jagger. I love it.
Uh-oh, I don't know about that.
Moves like
Jagger. It is. That's the truth.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the Georgia World Congress Center for Radio Row, this is The Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Now, here are your hosts, David Gow and Carla Dawson.
So, pretty special start to this day, getting to visit with Hannah Storm, Andrew Kramer, and then Billy White Chief Johnson. I wanted to say, with Billy White Chief Johnson, you know, it was fun to ask him, could he still do the dance? And that man could dance.
Oh, he can dance.
I was tempted to suggest that you two dance, because I've seen you dance.
I did a little practice last night, just in case he asked.
Just in case. I mean, it was always a consideration. It was a possibility in the air. What people who are listening can't understand is when the music is just right, coming in from a break,
you
Carla does a dance, and I will put it right up there with Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Well, that was my New Year's resolution last year, is work on my dance moves.
Well,
so are you seeing the fruits of my labor?
I'm seeing something. I am seeing something, and I think that you and Billy have a date. There's destiny to be had.
It's really good. I have a face for radio. That's all I can say, so. We'll just move on that.
Well, I'll tell you, two people who do not have faces for radio, but faces for television.
Gosh.
Andrea Kramer and Hannah Storm, was really fun to have them on set.
You know what was cool to note, too, is that they're the first all-woman booth, okay, to call any major men's team sport, not just football. So it's not just a football, you know, mountain that they've climbed.
Right.
Any men's team sport. They're the first all-female duo.
In some ways, it's amazing it's taken this long. And of course, part of it is that, I suppose, in the men's sports, it's nice to have a player, somebody who's played the sport, and that's harder in football. I mean, look, nearly every broadcast duo has at least one veteran. I mean, Romo, Aikman, Witten, you go down the lineup, there's always an ex-player in that booth. But these two are exceptional. They are best in class.
Well, you bring up a point that shows just, you know, how Hannah ended the interview by saying, you know, I hate to say it, but it's hard work and it's preparation, and I know that's the same with an athlete.
Right.
That even puts them on a bigger scale, you know, a harder mountain that they've had to climb because they were not in the game. I mean, they're as close to not being in the game as you possibly could be with their backgrounds. But the fact that they have not been in the trenches,
yep,
and yet they can play-by-play and do color analysis and all of that, not only do it, but do it really well. They are the gold standard. 11 games last season, and bringing them back for season number 2. If you have not heard them, you've got to listen to them.
Right, you can listen to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, or Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer.
I'm going with Hannah and Andrea.
Go with the ladies.
Not a doubt.
All right.
And they really remind me of the Jim Nantz, Tony Romo duo that's new, you know, new on CBS, because I feel the same way with Jim and Tony. See how I'm talking about them? Like they're my friends. Like,
well, they
I could
are.
Be sitting on the couch with them. And if I know X's and O's about football, I'm satisfied. And if I am going, I don't really know this game that well, I get it. Because they're entertaining, they're enthusiastic, they're engaging, and they're not intimidating.
Well, you heard at least one of them say this week, when they set out to form a duo, they wanted to be like John Madden, Pat Summerall, that legendary duo that were really a perfect complement to one another. And I see that with Nance and Romo. They really are good with each other.
Because Summerall would tee up Madden.
Yeah.
And then Madden would just go.
Yep.
And it was perfect. And that's exactly, Jim Nance is kind of the tees up Tony Romo. And why wouldn't you do that? Because there's Tony Romo behind center for years. So he is able to see a formation right when it sets up and what needs to be done. And I love it. He looks like the play whisperer. And he basically is. He can call it before it happens.
Right.
I love it.
Well, you may have seen that Tony Romo, who's Nostradamus now, he can call all things.
Yes, he is.
He's predicted the score of the game.
I know. 28-24.
28-24, although he didn't predict a winner.
I know. I love that. Do you think he's going to tell the truth at the end?
Well, no. I think it's wise. He just hedges his bet. He'll wait. Imagine if it does finish 28-24. The whole Romo mania will be over the top. Bryce Harper, of course, looking for Romo to tell him where to go play baseball next year. There's a lot of looking at Tony Romo now for the future. But it's interesting, that score to me, I don't think 28 is the number.
I don't think it's going to be higher.
I see a 4-point difference, but also 28 implies that you scored 4 touchdowns and you never had to get stopped in the red zone and kick a field goal. I see it more like a 31-27 type game.
Well, and you know, you look at New England Super Bowls. They've had several of them. So they won Super Bowls by 3 points, 3 points, 3 points, 4 points, and 6 points. lost by 3 points and 4 points last year. Yeah. So tight game. So yeah. I agree with you. It's going to be tight, but it's going to be a lot heftier, I think, than in the 20s.
Yeah. You're exactly right. I do think it'll be tight. The Rams really don't want Brady to have a chance with 2 minutes left to win the game. That's the moment they have to avoid. Because I think at that moment there will be a sense of inevitability on both teams. I mean, really, it's got to be locked into the players' heads. And certainly it's in the Patriots' heads because they've done it so many times as a team.
Well, and there's the difference. They've been there, done that. Mm-hmm. And they've come from behind, 21-3, you know, in Super Bowl 51 in Houston. And so if I'm the Rams, you've never been there before as this collective team under Sean McVay. And you're going against someone who is going for their sixth ring.
Right.
Not their sixth appearance, their sixth ring, their ninth appearance. I mean, that's crazy, even from things like that are so different from a regular NFL game. You know, the teams are out there warming up. Then they go back into the locker room, but they're there for 30, 40 minutes, which is not usual in a regular season. Halftime is really long. How do you stay? How does Sean McVay, as a new young coach at 33 years old, never been to a Super Bowl in this position, how do you keep your team up and ready and excited? And, you know, these kind of silly things that sound like they're not a big deal, that's a lot of time.
Well, there's a rhythm of a game. There's a rhythm of preparing for a game, and it's all thrown off by the Super Bowl. This is a game like none other. But one good thing is he's got Wade Phillips alongside him. Sean McVay will have Wade Phillips there. Phillips, of course, has gone as a D.C. with the Broncos, won the Super Bowl. He's a guy who has the seasoned experience of how to conduct the team during the course of the week.
41 years for Wade Phillips as a coach in the NFL.
He's learned a few things.
So he's at 71. Sean McVay has just turned 33. And I think that is the key to the Rams' success is they obviously believed in McVay, who has an incredible background, starting with his grandfather, who was GM of the, you know, Super Bowl winning San Francisco 49ers. So he grew up around the game, worked himself into this position. But then I credit the Rams organization to say, pair him with a veteran, because he's not a veteran yet. We trust him. So I think that the Arizona Cardinals and Steve Keim need to take a look at this model and do the same things. They're bringing in Cliff Kingsbury, who's much less proven to me than Sean McVay.
No, he's going to need some other help on that staff.
He might need a lot of help all kinds of places.
All kinds of places.
Larry Fitzgerald cannot do it alone.
No. But going back to Wade Phillips' defense and Tom Brady's offense,
I think that's the matchup.
That's an incredible matchup. And the matchup there that's striking is that Wade usually loves to get pressure. I mean, that's his game, right? That's his mantra. And Bill Belichick was talking about Wade Phillips' defensive schemes over the years. He hasn't changed his scheme a lot. He'll emphasize certain things, but it's the same basic scheme over a long period of time. It's been very, very successful. He's got to get pressure on Brady. Wade Phillips' defense usually bring pressure.
And Wade Phillips doesn't need to change his scheme because it works. And the difference between working to keep your job and working not is the personnel that you can put into that scheme. And he's got the personnel. And if you're looking just at the inside with Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald, oh, goodness gracious. Their front four is fierce. But that is the key. You're exactly right with Tom Brady. You've got to put pressure on him because he is probably the greatest pocket passer in NFL history.
Yeah, if he gets time, it's over. But to me, Sue and Fowler, guys who were drafted in first rounds with a lot of hype, a lot of expectations that they really haven't realized. They haven't delivered totally. Those two guys need to play up to the reputation. They need to play up to their first-round status. Aaron Donald has been everything anybody could have ever hoped to be. He, too, a first-round pick. But they've got those first-rounders up on the front line. But Sue and Fowler are the guys who really haven't lived up to their hype.
Well, right. But I'll tell you what's changing. What I noticed was changing in the playoffs is secret's out on Aaron Donald. I mean, he's going to get Defensive Player of the Year for the second consecutive year. So he's being double-teamed and triple-teamed and all of that, which opens up Sue, which because he hasn't played up to his first-round status, they're not. If you're going to pick your poison, you got to cover Donald. So he's had a fabulous postseason.
Yep.
And I see the same thing with he and Fowler going into
the opportunity is right for
it
Sue because of the double-teaming. And my goodness, I mean, this is his moment on the biggest stage. If he can get defensive penetration and ruffle Brady, that will change all. It will be a huge deal. Brady's offensive line has been outstanding in the postseason, though. And really, when we were watching that Chiefs game, the time that Brady had,
he could have called Giselle, you know, scheduled some appointments with his kids. I mean, it was insane. And do you remember on the final drive for the Patriots that won it for them in the Chiefs game in the AFC playoffs? They were at 3rd-and-9 I mean, I thought this is going to be it. They're going to get a stop. They converted on 3rd and 9 three times in that drive. This is going to be the key for the Rams defense and Wade Phillips. You have got to stop Brady on 3rd down.
Well,
period.
And in each of those, he had a chance to get back, set his, put the ball right where he needed it to be. He did a great job. So that's one matchup. Of course, to the other side of it, you've got, well, Sean McVay's offense, Jared Goff, Gurley, all the weapons on the Rams offense.
C.J. Anderson.
Well, yes. Got to mention
Robert
him now.
Robert Woods. Brandon Cook.
Because we really don't know Gurley's health 100%.
Right.
But that offensive unit, Sean McVay's creativity around it versus Bill Belichick's longstanding ability to come up with scheme defenses to stop great offenses.
Well, I think you're right. The Rams have different weapons. So if the Patriots choose to focus on the run game, well, they've got Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods, and they can do that. I also love what we saw in the NFC playoffs, which is that they were down. I mean, the Rams were looking absolutely terrible in the beginning. They could not get anything going. This is great for Jared Goff at 24 years old in a big-time game. I mean, this is the game for him until this coming Sunday. He was able to make the adjustments to get his confidence under him and to get it rolling.
Yeah.
Well, I love it.
They will be. I think, you know, it's interesting. Of course, Vegas opened up with the Rams as favorites, and then that very quickly changed to the Patriots. I certainly favor the Patriots in this one in a close game. I haven't heard your pick yet. As we sit here just 3 days from the game, who do you see winning this one?
I'm going with the young guns.
Really?
I'm taking the Rams.
Really?
I really am. I have so much confidence in them because of the slow start in that big game on that big fat stage in New Orleans in the Super Bowl. That is such a hard place to play. And you look, they had a minute 50 after the blown 2 no-calls on Tommy Lee Lewis. A minute 50, the Saints could have stopped them.
Yep.
But Jared Goff marched them down, got them in beautiful field goal range, and then was able to do what he needed to do in overtime after Breeze threw an interception. So I love the pressure that he was under.
Yep.
He's had it, you know, below 2 minutes, and he made it happen. I love riding that wave.
You see that almost as a coming-of-age moment.
I do. I think those are those career-defining moments that push you to the next level.
Mm.
All right, I'm going for the Rams.
The chutzpah of youth. You believe.
Yes, well, look at you and me. We're the chutzpah of youth.
Well,
in our own minds,
at least you are. We all know that. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap up our hour here. This is the Boss and the Gloss and Espionage Radio. I hate to leave all this. We had Billy White Shoe Johnson, Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer. It's a pretty good hour.
Will you let me come back tomorrow?
We'll come back tomorrow.
All right.
And we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Boss and the Gloss on Espionage Radio.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the Georgia World Congress Center for Radio Row, this is the Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Now, here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, I must say I've felt a buzz here on Radio Row. Once the gloss arrived, everyone's head's been turning. It's been a big deal. A lot of people delighted to see you here at Radio Row.
I'm sure. You've got a buzz on this early. This is not good.
Okay, maybe not.
I'm telling you that right now.
But who have you, now walking around, there's so many luminaries here, VIPs here. Who's
my Disneyland.
Yes, it's your Disneyland.
Yeah.
So who has turned your head the most? Who have you enjoyed seeing the most?
Okay, so I've got a mix of legends and currents.
Okay.
So, Deshaun Watson, I love me some Deshaun, always.
From the very beginning,
always.
You always have.
And I've loved him from Clemson, even before his national championship on. So, that was exciting.
Yep.
Saw him near the Old Spice Lounge yesterday. And then, on the other side, legend, lifetime legend, Ronnie Lott, former USC player. Exciting. Saw him near us
right
yesterday.
Right in your backyard with USC Trojans, of course.
Exactly. And then got
and
to see
him. By the way,
him.
He looked good. He looked like
he looked.
He could still go on the field and play.
Yeah, he had on like a cool little beanie. He was rocking it, and he looked exactly like he looked, fit and young, just like you and me, right?
Yes.
And then I saw an old radio legend who's now on TV. Jim Rome was interviewing Saquon Barkley. That was pretty fun.
So. Yeah, you're an old Jim Rome fan, aren't you?
I am. I miss the jungle.
There are at least 3 or 4 of you left in the country.
Have a take. Don't bleep. So how about you? Who are your favorites?
Well, so the funny thing, every year on Friday morning at 7:45 a.m., Roger Staubach shows up to Radio Row. And he comes in before everybody else. And so I always make a point of being here. And since no one else is here at Radio Row, he comes and knocks out his interviews before the crowds. It's really nice. There's nobody's here. I can always say hello to him. And he's gotten sort of an expectation now that he'll see me on Friday morning. He didn't really know who I am or why I'm there, but he knows, oh, yeah, that guy always shows up to see me on Friday morning.
Humility's a gift. He knows who you are.
Ah.
Media magnate from Houston, Texas. Yeah, he's got it.
So
he's got it.
I will say, Billy Whiteshoes Johnson was a thrill for me because growing up in Houston, those were golden seasons with him. He was drafted in 1974, and the whole peak of the Love You Blue era was electric in the city. And he was a special figure in that market.
And he brought fun into the No Fun League.
Well, it really,
he started the fun, honestly.
I mean, people were excited to see that dance. And it's a fine line between a good celebration and a celebration that sort of distracts from the game and takes too long and maybe has all kinds of props and distracts everybody from the task at hand. If I were a coach and half my team were going over to orchestrate some glorious dance, I might not like it.
It's true.
All right. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss.
Oh, I hate that we have to leave.
Real treat. We will be back tomorrow, same time.
Goodness.
Thanks so much for joining us on SB Nation Radio.